Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Good afternoon. It is Sunday, the 6th day of March. This is John Moore. I am coming live to you from deep in the mountains in the Missouri Ozarks on Sunday, the 6th day of March, year of our Lord, 2011. I continue to get calls and emails from people concerned about these earth changes. People want to know what's going to happen next. How long do we have? That's always the big question. How long do we have? And my response is always, I don't have a crystal ball. I don't have a date. If I had a date, I would give it to you. The only date I had was December 31st, 2009. That was the date the government gave themselves to get their majority of their preparations complete. And that was December 31st, 2009, about 15 months ago. Obviously, that date's come and gone. And just as obviously, if you're paying attention, the government continues to make preparations. In the fall of 2009, they announced that they were going to be building a computer data center 20 miles south of Salt Lake City to take the place of what they've had at Fort Meade, Maryland, since modern computers came into existence. At Fort Meade, Maryland, they've got 20 acres of Cray, that's C-R-A-Y, Cray mainframe computers underground, 20 acres worth. That's an awful lot of Cray mainframe computers. I don't know how many hundreds that would be. Obviously, it would be hundreds. And they're building a brand new place 20 miles south of Salt Lake City to replace what they have at Fort Meade, Maryland. They're basically a Baltimore suburb. Pretty amazing, isn't it? All the infrastructure that's being built and moved and people being moved all over the country. The CIA moving from Langley, Virginia to Denver. National Security Agency moving to Denver also. The main part of the people anyway. The computer data center doesn't take that many people. The main bulk of the people from the NSA are going to Denver. Denver, the Mile High City. Denver will become the western capital of the United States. Atlanta will become the eastern capital. Denver, of course, is the highest major city in the United States, the highest altitude major city in the United States. And Atlanta is the highest altitude major city east of the Mississippi River. East of the Mississippi River, yes. These events are happening. They're happening right now. If you haven't seen my disc number two of my two DVD set, Global Warming, What the Government Isn't Telling You, you're in for a real treat. Because on that disc, I have an interview with Mr. Tim Spencer. I had him here on the show with me last week. Tim Spencer, the retired Navy veteran, talking about the classified map. The map that he saw when he was in New Orleans. The map that thousands at this point, going back to 1979, thousands of Navy veterans have seen this map. They were all told in classified briefings if they wanted to be in a safe area once they retired to move to the Arkansas-Missouri Ozarks as one of the known safe havens. And that's what's happened, ladies and gentlemen. Thousands upon thousands of Navy veterans, based on the information they received at classified briefings put on by the U.S. Navy, have moved to the Arkansas-Missouri Ozarks. I don't have to talk about the 10th planet too much anymore. I can and I do. But we have another event, what I'm referring to as the second most important event in 2,000 years that's happened. That being the Gulf Stream has stopped. Obviously, the most important event the last 2,000 years is the birth of our Lord Jesus. The second most important event in the last 2,000 years is the Gulf Stream stopping. That's a verifiable scientific fact. Verifiable scientific fact. If you go to my website, thelibertyman.com, there's an article there titled "The Gulf Stream Has Stopped." There's links to the U.S. Navy website, to the section of the U.S. Navy website where they post a brand new map every 24 hours showing sea surface temperatures. Sea surface temperatures. Here's the deal. The Gulf Stream was given that name, by the way, by Benjamin Franklin about 200 years ago. Warm water coming up from the Gulf of Mexico, the Caribbean, up the east coast of Florida, up past Georgia, South Carolina, and North Carolina, Cape Hatteras starts going east. It still goes east, but not very far. It used to go east all the way to England, Ireland, Scotland, where it split. Some going north to warm up Scandinavia, the other rest going south to warm up the Western Europe. Now it turns east at Cape Hatteras, goes a couple hundred miles, and kind of just eddies out and swirls and stops. There was a meteorologist on with a talk show host friend of mine about a week ago, and he was saying, "Oh, it hasn't stopped. It's just going southwest now." Excuse me? It hasn't stopped. It's just going southwest. Well, if it's not going northeast, it stopped, ladies and gentlemen. And you can see the evidence yourself right there at the U.S. Navy's website. This is too important to take the word of a radio talk show host. I'm no scientist. I'm a homicide detective. I am no scientist. Don't claim to be, never will be. But the evidence, the scientific verifiable evidence, is right there at the U.S. Navy's website. That's why I give these links, so you can prove it to yourself that this is real. Now, this past July, I was introduced to a PhD scientist named Dr. Luigiani Zangari. Dr. Zangari works with a team of scientists in North America and Europe exclusively on the Gulf Stream. That's all these men and women do, is work exclusively on the Gulf Stream. The third week of July, when I first met him, he said, "John, we think the Gulf Stream has stopped. We're working to verify that." Within less than 2 weeks, he did verify that on June 12th, 2010, the Gulf Stream had stopped. Now, up until I met Dr. Zangari and listened to him, I always thought, like most people, that the Gulf Stream affected weather on the East Coast, the United States, the United Kingdom, Scandinavia, and Western Europe. That's what my belief always was about the Gulf Stream. It turns out the Gulf Stream, according to Dr. Zangari, here's a direct quote, "The Gulf Stream is the pacemaker of the climate of the planet," and here's the reason why. The pacemaker of the climate of the planet. It had a, had past tense, it had a moderating, regulating effect on the jet stream. Now, the jet stream is air, 200-mile-an-hour winds and air, 5 miles up. It's always up there, 24-7. And the jet stream has a massive impact on weather in the Northern Hemisphere and of course, the rest of the planet as well. It does this big W-shaped circuit up and down, north and south, while it's going east. And up until this past June, when the Gulf Stream stopped, the jet stream had pretty much acted in a reliable, predictable fashion that allowed men and women involved in agriculture to have some predictability about weather so that they could plant crops and have some hope of getting a harvest. Well, that all ended. That predictability ended on June 12th, 2010. We're now seeing wild swings, extremely wild swings, in the jet stream as a consequence of this. Wild, unpredictable weather, like I was talking about at the beginning of the show, with the AccuWeather forecast for this coming spring of 2011. Wild, unpredictable weather. What does that mean? Well, look at the Chicago Board of Trades. Just look at it for grain futures. Grain futures prices are going up, up, up. Grains are what feeds the people and the animals of this planet. There's wheat and things that you would never expect, like soups, for example. They use wheat as a thickener in soups. Corn, wheat, rice, barley, soybeans, spelt, oats, so forth, rye, all the grains. There's not quite 7 billion people on this planet, about 6.7, 6.8 billion people. It's more or less a guess, but it's fairly accurate. And an unknown number of farm animals, obviously billions of farm animals. what feeds most of them most of the time is grains. That's what feeds most people and most animals most of the time are grains. So when the price of when a grain harvest goes down, the price of grains go up. I haven't talked to my friend who's a wheat grower out in Kansas for a couple of months. I need to get back with her. Her family grows 2,000 acres of wheat out there. The winter wheat crop, when I talked to her in November, was at risk of being a total loss. They're in that area that's being hit by the drought out there. I don't know what's going on. I need to get back with her and find out. In first world countries, United States, Canada, Western Europe, we'll see price increases, and we got a break. And we got Ken from Massachusetts. Go ahead, Ken.
Yes, you were saying earlier that the Navy had a sort of classified report showing that, what, Arkansas is basically the only safe spot?
Well, close. What the Navy's been telling people since 1979, Ken, in classified briefings, that the Arkansas-Missouri Ozarks is one of the known safe havens. Another one is the border region of Montana and Wyoming, which is way too close to Yellowstone to suit me, but that is what they said in the classified briefings. They also show these men maps at these briefings. The map is on my DVD, by the way, Global Warming, What the Government Isn't Telling You. They showed them maps with North America having new coastlines. And they were told the following, gentlemen, this will happen in your lifetimes, not your children's, not your grandchildren's. These events will happen in your lifetimes. So you haven't heard this before, huh, Ken? Huh, Ken?
No, what events now are you talking about?
Rising ocean levels. Going to wipe out the coastal areas. You're in Maine or Massachusetts? You're in Massachusetts.
Right.
Most of Massachusetts will be underwater within your lifetime, sir.
Well, how about if you don't live on the coast, though, then how would you be affected?
It's the elevation. It's the elevation. If you don't know what your altitude above sea level is, the Navy says 400 feet above sea level is the minimum, absolute minimum. It's not the distance from the ocean. It's how high above it you are.
So you mean basically the whole nation is going to be flooded?
No, sir. East Coast will take damage about 100 miles inland. Florida will be pretty much gone. The Gulf Coast states will take damage typically 200, 250 miles inland, except Texas, which will go about 100 miles inland. The West Coast won't get it quite so bad, 50 to 100 miles inland, depending on where you are. The heartland of the country will be high and dry.
So, I mean, mostly the whole country would be safe then, wouldn't it?
There's other issues, such as refugees. Between Washington, D.C. and Boston is basically one large city with more than 50 million people. The majority of those people will end up becoming refugees, looking for safe havens, high ground, and so forth. Once you're east of the Mississippi, Ken, you've got a lot more population density per square mile. And you've probably heard about all the FEMA concentration camps or refugee camps being built, and that the government wants to have martial law and they want to put people in these. It may be nothing more complex, nothing more devious than the fact they're going to need these things. They're going to need these camps for all the refugees. So a lot of things go into what is a safe haven. Altitude above sea level, the growing season, how much water you got, population density, it all plays into it.
So you're not talking about, like, earthquakes. You're talking about floods, basically.
Earthquakes will be part of it, but the floods is what's going to cause the most problems.
Now, how do the earthquakes connect to the floods?
Well, I'll take, for example, the New Madrid seismic zone, which I'm fairly close to, by the way. The Mississippi River will become a river 50 to 100 miles wide and 200 feet deep. And when the weight of that water is on top of the New Madrid seismic zone, the Navy says in these classified briefings, there'll be at least 3 9-point-plus earthquakes.
So the floods will cause earthquakes?
The weight of the water on the New Madrid seismic zone will cause earthquakes, yes, sir.
Okay, and so everybody that's in the Navy basically has been told this?
Not everyone. All flag rank officers have, everybody in the submarine corps since 1985, all enlisted and officers both in the submarine corps since 85 have been in these briefings, and probably others. But I know for a fact every submarine veteran since 1985 has been these classified briefings, because I've debriefed about two dozen of them at this point, Ken.
And does the Navy officially acknowledge that that's what they're saying?
Well, these classified briefings are put on by the U.S. Navy. No, they don't talk about them publicly, no. It's classified information that's not supposed to be talked about publicly.
Well, but if so many people know about it, I'm wondering, you know, what does the Navy comment? Do they say, it's true, the whole nation's there's going to be all these floods, or are they saying, oh, we never told anyone that?
There's no recognition of this publicly that I'm aware of at all. However, you can go to the Navy website, Ken, and see that the Gulf Stream has stopped at the Navy website. That's part of this also.
But the Navy's not standing behind this flood story, or are they?
Not publicly. Not that I'm aware of. No, sir.
And so is that how this connects to that, to the freeze-dry guy, sort of in preparation for these floods?
Well, freeze-dry guy sells freeze-dried food for anybody for any reason. Some people are concerned about these earth changes, like you and I are talking about. They may be concerned about an economic collapse, maybe not having a job. And a lot of people can have had to rely on their freeze-dried stocks of food when they lose their job. So that's been a real blessing for people to have that stock of food.
Are these floods connected to global warming?
What most people think of as global warming is a cover story to conceal these things and keep people confused about what's going on. Global warming is put up by Al Gore and NASA is an obfuscation and is a trick to convince you something else is happening.
But do you believe that the Earth is warm? Does this theory that you held to, does it hold that the Earth is warming?
One of the effects they knew 30 years ago would be parts of the planet would be warming up. They did know that, and they being the powers that be, decided to make that their story, that these events were being caused by human activity, SUVs and cow flatulence and things of that like that, were causing the globe to warm up, which is, of course, not the case. This is a natural event. It's a cyclical event. It happens about every 3,600 years.
But you do. How do you react to the stories that say that the globe is actually cooling rather than warming?
We are entering we're going into what will be either a mini ice age or a full-blown ice age. The planet has to warm up before you can have an ice age. That may not make sense, but that's in fact what has to happen. The Gulf Stream was slowing down for more than a decade because of the introduction of fresh water from melting ice in Greenland and the Antarctic, reducing the salinity of the oceans. The salt content of the oceans was the engine that drove the Gulf Stream and made it do what it's done for so many centuries. You want to hold on to the break here, Ken?
Thank you.
Okay, hold on. We got a bunch of people on hold. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. We're back. This is J.R. Moore. It is Sunday, the 6th day of March. Ken in Massachusetts, I get the impression this is all kind of new information for you. Is that accurate?
No, I've been hearing stories about they're building all these underground cities. Is that part of this?
Yes, sir. Until we found out the reason why, it didn't make any sense, because this construction of these underground facilities began after the end of the Cold War, most of it. And it didn't make any sense till we found out that what they're preparing for is the end of the world as we know it. This flooding oceans will wipe out where two-thirds of the people live on the East Coast, West Coast, and Gulf Coast and Mississippi River Valley. And what they're doing, Ken, is called continuity of government contingency planning. And they've been doing it now since 1979.
But these underground cities currently exist all over America then?
Mostly in the interior. If you look at the FEMA camps, almost none of them are near the oceans. These underground military bases are mostly in the interior, usually on fairly high ground.
And do people actually live now in these underground cities?
They're manned. I don't believe they're fully staffed. Most people aren't going to want to go there until they have to and not see sunshine anymore. They're staffed with skeleton staffs right now, as best I can determine.
I wonder if I could get a job in one of those, like as a bartender or something. I mean, do they have parties down there and stuff?
They'll probably use military personnel for most of those positions that already have a security clearance.
I used to bartend at a military officers club. I wonder if I, because I'm having a hard time finding work up here.
Well, a good bartender can usually find a job, and that should, you know, just keep trying there, Ken. I think you'll find something.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you for your call. The jet stream is a different matter. The Gulf Stream was such a large body of water that it had a regulating effect on the jet stream and caused it to act in a predictable fashion. With that gone, now that regulating factor is gone also. Any place, you know, the average automobile has about a 300-mile range of the full tank of gas. The average car has half a tank of gas, which is about 150 miles. If you're within 150 miles of these major metropolitan areas, you're certainly at risk. You're better off being in those in a higher altitude area of a remote area of Maine or New Hampshire than a densely populated urban area near the ocean. Obviously, that's better. Maggie in Michigan. Go ahead, Maggie.
Hi, John. I'm also curious to know what you think about my location as far as what might happen in a pole shift or whatever. I live in northwest lower Michigan. If you look at the back of your left hand, I'm like right in the middle of your small finger's nail.
Right. Well, what's your altitude above sea level there, Maggie?
You know, I'm not sure. It's kind. There's big hills here, but not. You know, 8 miles from where I live, where I work, is right on the bay of, one of the bays of Lake Michigan.
Right.
So, but my home is quite a bit higher. I have to climb a lot of big hills to get here. It's not mountainous, that's for certain, though.
Right.
But
right.
I'm trying to figure out, what do you envision these lakes doing around? Are they, like some people said, that Wisconsin is going
underwater? Let me tell you what the Navy says, Maggie. The United States Navy says that the Great Lakes will merge to become one Great Lake, extending all the way to Hudson Bay, which is going to take out a big, basically it's going to split Canada in two. Now, I got my Michigan map here in front of me. I vacationed in Traverse City several times.
That's beautiful where I area. Live, yeah. Traverse
beautiful,
City.
Beautiful area, Traverse City. Nice resort area and nice temperate weather in the summertime. You've got, the lake is just about like an ocean, except there's no, it's not salty and there's no sharks. So.
Yeah.
I would look at Google Earth for altitude. Okay. You're not going to be very high above sea level there. Maybe 300 to 400 feet, which is pretty marginal. You are east of the Mississippi River, which means a higher population density.
Well, there's not that many people around my area.
In your immediate area, no, but in the eastern part of the country in general, there is, yes.
Okay.
So if you're satisfied with your altitude, if you've got an altitude 500 feet plus above sea level, if you've got an area that's fairly remote where you can grow food and have some friends to help keep the place safe, you might do okay there, Maggie.
Well, what do you envision this part of the Earth doing, going north or going towards the equator? Because I've seen two different people, you know, they're saying, oh, this is going to shift up to the North Pole, and others are saying, no, this is going down to the equator.
Right, well, the current magnetic north is moving towards Siberia. And generally what's happened in the past is the true north will follow the path of magnetic north at some point, and it'll try to catch up with it. That's what's happened in the past. There's lots of speculation about where true north is going to end up, and I'm not sure there's any how much science is behind that speculation. There's only so many things we can do within our limited human capability, and after that, it's in God's hands.
I watched that movie Deep Impact, and on the movie, the black president announces that, you know, this comet's coming in and it's going to hit the Earth, and that survival arcs are being built in the soft limestone caves of Missouri, and this is where they're going to house at least 1 million people.
Right.
And then here you're talking about the Navy considering the Arkansas-Missouri Ozarks as one of the safe havens.
Right. Well, the limestone caves that they're talking about in that film are in the metropolitan Kansas City area, and they're massive. They've been digging these things for decades, and a lot of them are rented out as storage space for private individuals, and the government has control over a lot of them also. They are huge, and they go on for miles. We're gonna be seeing more of these rocks hitting our planet here over the next few months and a year or so. I hear the concern in your voice, Maggie, up in Michigan, and Ken in Massachusetts, and Jeff, and everybody out there. Of course, it's a matter to be concerned about. The first and most important thing to do is get your spiritual preparedness in order. That's the single most important thing you can do for yourself and anybody as far as that goes. After that comes skills. The skills of a ham radio operator, the skills of an EMT or paramedic. EMT is one semester at your local junior college. If you can't do that, at least get a good Red Cross first aid course, CPR, cardiopulmonary resuscitation course. There may be something put on at your local firehouse that you can get involved with. Always have a plan B. You know, I can't sit here and tell Maggie that up there in Traverse City she's going to be safe. I wouldn't want to be close to a body of water as large as Lake Michigan when these things happen. That would probably not be very wise. I'd want to be 400 feet above the level of the water in the Great Lakes up there, at a minimum. 400 feet above the level of the water around these Great Lakes, at a minimum. And granted, Michigan, a lot of Michigan, especially that far north in Michigan, is fairly a low-density population on one hand. On the other, you're not that far from heavily populated areas like Chicago, for example, where there's 12 million people. Break coming up. Stay tuned. We'll be back after the break.
John Moore is taking your telephone calls right now on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Pick up the phone and join in the conversation. Call 1-800-313-9443. That's 1-800-313-9443. And thanks for listening to RBN.
All right, we're back. John, we're back. This is J.R. Moore. It is Sunday, the 6th day of March. For Maggie and Michigan and Ken in Massachusetts, go to Google Earth. If you don't have it, you have to download the program. No charge. Google Earth. You can find the altitude above sea level anywhere on the planet with Google Earth. So for Maggie there in Michigan, find out the altitude of the where the water meets the land there at Traverse City. Add 400 feet, and that's where you want to be, Maggie. Minimum 400 feet above the level of the lake there. I'll be on the air at 7 a.m. Central tomorrow morning. I hope you all can tune in. That's it for today. I'll be safe. Buy lots of ammunition, and God bless America.